Welcome back to the Goal Line Stand, a Sports Talk Philly partner, presented as always by Michael's Glass Company, 215-338-3293. Tell them Mike and Brett sent you. Follow us on social media at GL Stand Show and on the web at www.thegoallinestand.com. I am Michael Lipinski. I am joined by Brett Halpern, who is not opting out of this here show today, which is good. I'm happy about that. And it's reversing a trend that's going on in the National Football League, Brett. NFLPA and the National Football League have reached agreements on returning to play, and opting out is one of them. There are a shit ton of guys opting out.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Though, I mean, Mike, if you were to offer me a $150,000 stipend to opt out of the show, I mean, for financial reasons, that, you know, I might take that. Although I love doing this with you.
Listen, I might take that as well. So I call it a day. So you mentioned it there. So there is there's two stipends involved. There's a $150,000 stipend, and then there is the high, what are they, they're calling it, the high risk stipend, where if you're a higher risk player, which means chronic disease of some sort. And I saw this. It was sickle cell, cancer, diabetes.
Asthma.
Yeah. They could opt out and receive a $350,000 1 year buyout, essentially.
Yeah. Well, you know, so one thing that I don't agree with. So one of the people, and we'll talk about a little bit more as relates to the effect on the team in a little bit later, Nate Solder opted out. And the reason that he opted out is because his infant or toddler son is dealing once again, tragically, with cancer. So to me, if you have a family member, an immediate family member who's high risk, I think you should fall into the high risk category yourself.
I would agree with you. We are going to get into it. Marquise Goodwin, same thing. His wife just gave birth to a child and they had multiple miscarriages.
Yeah.
So he's not high risk. Clearly the situation is, and he doesn't want to get his wife or his newborn child sick. I wonder if there's wiggle room there. It seems like this is an evolving thing.
Yeah. And I was listening to the NFL Network or the NFL radio on Sirius XM yesterday, and they had Tom Pelissero on, who was talking about how, you know, the deadline for the opt-out is still about a week away, and they anticipate another very large wave, much larger than the current crop that have already opted out, to choose to opt out once the language is done. Because actually, the language of the opt-out is not yet finalized. So, and I think one of the more interesting ones, I mean, I was joking earlier about if someone gave me a $150,000 stipend, I might opt out of the show for a year. But having said that, for players, so you get a stipend if you are under contract next year. So what if you're a player, Mike, who is on the minimum salary, minimum veteran salary, and you're not under contract next year, right? Wouldn't it be better for you to just opt out and get either $150K or $350K, as opposed to playing? The season may not finish, and you might get sick.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. It would make all this fiscal sense in the world.
Yeah,
depending on the situation, I would think that would make sense.
Yeah,
and you know what? I haven't seen the actual language of the agreement here. What is it that they are people going to take advantage of this? Because I already think someone is taking advantage of it. We're going to get to that in a second. But as far as the dollars and cents of it all, could I go to my doctor and get a diagnosis of something on there? Not anything serious, obviously. That's really screwed up.
Yeah.
But hypertension, which is high blood pressure. Right. You know, I believe that was on the list. So the rules on high blood pressure have changed. Yeah. A lot of people are high blood pressure because the numbers have shifted about a year ago. Do I get a doctor's note saying he's high blood pressure? He wants to opt out. I get 350.
You would think. And what about every lineman in the league? I mean, you know, they say that this disease, unfortunately, is more high risk for those people who are heavier. Well, offensive and defensive linemen who are weighing anywhere between 270 and now up to 380, 390. Look, that definitely would, you'd think, would put them in the higher risk category.
I would think so. Let's a couple names here that don't reside in the Boston area that have opted out. Who are some of the names that have stood out to you?
I think, let's see, the ones that stood out to me the most are Eddie Goldman, the defensive tackle for the Bears. I think that really hurts them. My supposed beloved Buffalo Bills, their defensive tackle, Star Latulule.
You said it, not me.
Yeah, well, you know, you started the trend. What's his name? Devin Funchess from Green Bay. I mean, that was someone who I didn't necessarily think he solved the answer as another weapon at wide receiver, but either way, they're not even going to have the opportunity. Michael Pierce for the Vikings. He was brought in basically to replace Linval Joseph. He's gone. And then those are really the biggest ones. And also the, Super Bowl hero, Damian Williams, is now gone.
It's going to grow. This list is going
grow.
This is going to be interesting over the next, what do we got, 5-6 days. The opt-out is on the 4th of August. Yeah,
I believe it's the 4th.
Here, I don't know if you have heard this. Can you opt back in, or once you're out, you're out? I bring it up because in baseball, which is just a disaster right now, players opted out. One of them, Nick Markakis, who is going to be a big piece for the Atlanta Braves, opted out, was sitting home watching the team play baseball and said, I think I could go do this. I'm missing the game. I want to go play. And is opting back in, which to me is outrageous. If you're out, you're out. You can't flip-flop here.
I agree.
What's the NFL's stance on it? I haven't read it, but maybe I was glossing over it, so I don't know. Maybe I missed it.
I have not heard anything about an opt-in. I've heard about there are special circumstances where you can, if you are in currently, that there are special circumstances that during the season you could also opt out, but nothing about opting in from those who have already opted out.
Right. So, I mean, that would make sense. That would make all the sense in the world that you couldn't opt back in and there would be a further opt out. Let's talk about this a little bit. And I want to say beating the system, but Dante Hightower, Dan Vitale, fullback, whatever. Brandon Bolden, Patrick Chung, Marcus Cannon, Najee Torn. Right now we're looking at 6 New England Patriots who have opted out. And the rumor coming out, and this was Adam Schefter and a bunch of reporters, there is talk that a lot more Patriots are going to be opting out. And that, for everybody, should have immediately sent up that red flag that this is a Bill Belichick opt-out. This is a way for him to tweak the system. They don't have a quarterback. We've discussed this at length. You know, they have Cam Newton.
Yeah.
But is there's the Jarrett Stidham, that whole thing. Who do they like? Maybe they like Trevor Lawrence. I would like Trevor Lawrence if I were Bill Belichick. Could this really be a scenario where there's smoke, there's fire? I'm very much a believer in that.
Yeah.
And now that other reporters are on it, the Schefters of the world, the Mortensons of the world, that something is brewing in New England. Are the Patriots cheating the system? Are the Patriots working the system? Because it's not cheating if you ain't trying.
Yeah. I'm not as skeptical as you are. Because look, at the end of the day, I just think it's harder to tank in football. Think about all these teams. I mean, even last year, I mean, oddly enough, it worked out in Miami's favor because Tua got hurt. Remember, there was the tank for Tua. The thing is that the players who are there, they need to play their best, because whether they're on the Patriots or they're on another team the year after, they have to perform their best. Even if Bill Belichick is, you know, unless he literally starts calling plays where the quarterback's downing it, like in the Waterboy, I don't know. Maybe I'm just too naive. I just don't see it.
I don't know, man. I mean, this is a guy in an organization that have flaunted the rules forever.
Yeah.
And I actually don't necessarily have an issue with it. If you're playing by the rules and you're really in that gray area of the rules, but it's still within the rules, you're doing your job.
I don't know.
I just don't know. If you see a bunch more Patriots and more so than any other team opt out, I think that immediately says what's going on here. And you can't do anything about it. What are you going to do? You
have to take it out, perhaps. I mean, but again, yes, they had six. I think the team, the next closest team may have had three or maybe two. I don't know. I mean, you know, you mentioned the fullback, Dan Vitale. I mean, is that really what's going to cause them to, you know, remember they still have the Dolphins. Yeah, they still have the Dolphins and the Jets in their own division. Yeah. They're going to have, they have to play them four times.
That's true. That is true. It kind of sent up a smoke screen a little bit like the next, like the next Pope was showing up.
I agree. But it, again, it's sort of if Cam, you know, Cam Newton's on a 1 year deal, right? Cam Newton's not going to lie down.
Right. I would imagine he would not.
Yeah. So unless he's opting out, but even then, if he opts out, he's under contract next year then.
Right. Wouldn't he be the great guy to have as the starter while Trevor Lawrence sits behind you for a year?
I don't think that's not what he would do.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know.
Yeah. Look, this is, you know what, in the end of the day, it's perfectly within your right, but also because the Patriots, as you mentioned, have a history of, if not breaking the rules, bending them, and this is what they do. So you have to, you always wonder, what are they up to?
Right, exactly. All right, let's move on to what we have coming up on the program. 32 teams in 32 days is going to be starting when we are 32 days away from kickoff. We are right now sitting at, depending on when you listen to this, 41 days. So we are still moving forward with that, Brett. The NFL is moving forward with their season. We are moving forward with our preview shows. They will be on our YouTube channel first. The link is in the show notes. And then we will follow up with not an individualized team preview on the podcast feed, but by divisions, other than the Eagles, Giants, and the big NFL. College, have we officially decided we are just going to hold off for right now? I guess we're going to have to wait a little bit longer. Big Ten is set to make an announcement on Friday as this drops. ACC is making announcements. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the ACC did make the one announcement regarding the full schedule, including Notre Dame. And, I mean, look, there's a reason I stopped doing the countdown for college. And I was a little bummed because we were actually almost at 33 days prior to the kickoff, at which point we would have had one of our guests make an appearance on the Instagram feed, Chris Quay, our Instagram feed being at GL Stan Show. And I know. So, look, I still believe there should not be a season right now in college. You cannot, the same reason that I think the NFL is going to run into trouble. You don't have bubbles, and it's not like the NBA and the NHL. And there might be a vaccine come January, February, play it in the spring. It's just delaying the money. So why not just play it in the spring?
That's going to be the biggest thing. Is there a negotiation? We discussed it last week. Can the Power Five negotiate with the TV rights companies to hold off the money to the spring? Are there rules? Is there language in contracts? You know better than I, going through contracts as an attorney, that things are, you got to look at a lot of different stuff. A lot of billable hours there.
That's exactly why I left the practice.
But once an attorney, always an attorney. I mean, you get a paper.
Yes.
So, interestingly enough, is Notre Dame is in the ACC for at least this season. Yeah. Notre Dame has agreed to split the television revenue from NBC with the rest of the conference. And they're going to be a quote unquote, a full, they're a full member in all sports. Maybe with the exception of lacrosse or hockey, they're still in the Big Ten, but that's there. Has Notre Dame just joined the ACC moving forward? How do you undo it now? What if it's very good for everybody, which it really does make the ACC a more competitive conference now? You can't undo Pandora's box once it's undone. Is Notre Dame in? Did they unknowingly put themselves in? How do you come back from it?
Well, speaking of attorneys, I would imagine that when they made the agreement, it's specifically stated for 1 year. That's my guess.
But what if it works well for everybody? Well, it's Notre Dame, so there's a lot of ego involved. But it really does work well for them as far as the teams they can play and whatnot. It's teams they schedule anyway because they have agreements.
Yeah, so their current agreement is five games? They always play five ACC teams each year. I mean, look, as a traditional college football fan, you're going to miss out on Notre Dame Navy, Notre Dame USC, a lot of the other traditional ones, Stanford. Notre Dame, I think it actually makes it a little more difficult for them. Before, they sort of had their own strange path to the college football playoff. Now that they're going to have to beat Clemson, which is Clemson twice too.
Right. Well, I believe what I had read was that there will be no divisions this year.
Yeah, this year no division.
Take the top two teams. Well, yeah, I guess you're right. Then they still may have to beat them twice, depending on how the schedule works out. I have not seen it yet. I don't know if it's out in full yet.
I don't think it's been created yet.
But it was just interesting, and it was a question that was brought up on various sites online, because that's where sites are. People don't read newspapers. Does this undo what Notre Dame had done for forever? You could have protected rivalries still. You would just have to pick and choose. Like who are the rivals, right? You got Boston College already there, right? So Pitt is somewhat of a rival, so already there. You might have to shuffle around your navies. So pick a couple. Pick three every year. What are of the utmost importance? Obviously, USC.
Yeah.
I would say Stanford.
And Navy.
There's your three.
Yeah, then I know that there was a few years where it was not there, but I love the Notre Dame Michigan rivalry too.
Right, but they already somewhat discontinued it, so that's okay.
Yeah, but the other issue is now the ACC is an 11-team conference.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this opens
UConn.
I was gonna say
UConn sitting there saying, hey, we're over here.
I was thinking of our upcoming guest, Brendan Borowski and his UConn Huskies. It makes perfect sense. Makes sense from a basketball standpoint. It just makes a lot of sense.
It makes sense, definitely makes sense from obviously a football standpoint.
Yeah.
From a basketball standpoint, I think that this is not a basketball show.
Yeah.
I think that UConn is where they want to be. And that is the Big East, playing their former Big East rivals.
Yeah.
But money talks. And if Notre Dame is coming with it, it's hard to say no. It's interesting. It's just interesting. And I've been very much on board of saying everything that's going on here with this football season is creating even more of a void between the group of six and the power fives. There's going to be a difference, and we're going to see that. Notre Dame jumping on the ACC ship full bore this year might have just done that.
It may very well have, and it might work out long term. It definitely makes sense. Look, I think ultimately, geographically, it should have been Notre Dame in the Big Ten, right? But
I don't disagree with you. We are Rutgers guys.
Yeah.
We are very much on board there. And we are very happy that Rutgers is in the Big Ten because that is a lot of dollars.
Yep.
That being said, I am very much on the record of saying that to me, I always thought that the ACC, taking the dollars out of it, was a better fit for Rutgers than the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Simply because of the schools that are there and past rivalries. But that's neither here nor there.
No, it's you know, I'm interested to see it. Again, my stance is let's just wait until the spring. Then the interesting thing is now with Notre Dame making this agreement, what if they then wait? What if in a week from now they're like, look, we can't do this. We're going to go to the spring. Does this agreement stand for this year? I believe if you go to the spring, to me, I would just start over, and that's when Rutgers would play Monmouth and everything else. You would go back to your out-of-conference games.
I guess so that if everybody feels comfortable coming back.
Yeah, of course.
Monmouth has canceled fall sports. A lot of FCS levels are a lot of FCS conferences are canceling all their fall sports. Will that roll for the whole year? I don't know.
It almost seems like the majority of FCS schools are now have canceled.
There's a handful of them down south that have not. Other than that, you know. But you mentioned some of our guests coming up. We got a lot of actually ACC action now that I see this. Doug Eastlick, former Virginia Tech Hokie, Miami Dolphin, will be joining us. Previously mentioned Brendan Borowski, played at UConn, who was former offensive tackle. Kaluchi Okeri from the University of Pennsylvania will be joining us. Chris Quay is going to be joining us. We're really excited to hear it. Talking about him under Greg Schiano. Yeah. So we're trying to figure out when we're going to do that with everything going on. The one thing I would like to ask Chris, if we had him here right now, is if you were at Rutgers during a pandemic, would Greg Schiano have said to you, don't be a schmuck and don't go on the boardwalk or a party off campus, that kind of thing? Rutgers had what are we up to now? 15 players tested positive for the coronavirus, coming from a house party,
right off
of campus. And this isn't a Rutgers thing. This is college kids. It's going to happen, which is why we are discussing it should be moved to the spring and it can't happen in a bubble because you can't prevent this from occurring. You can't keep kids locked up.
And on top of it, unlike professional athletes who have something at stake in terms of their salaries, these kids have their scholarships. They have nothing else really to worry about. So they're going to go out and, you know, they feel as if they, you know, the virus doesn't really affect them as much. You know, the one thing I was going to say is, so their story about Rutgers made it to the ESPN.com homepage. Do you feel as if Rutgers, and this is me as a New York Giant fan talking, right? I feel like Rutgers gets a lot of the Philadelphia negative treatment. Whenever something negative happens at Rutgers, because look, how many other schools had a bunch of kids? There's schools that have had more kids test positive.
Double.
And right we don't know the source of that. And perhaps it's just that they were working out. And yes, they have found out that this happened because some of the Rutgers players went to a party. But they didn't do this for Michigan State. They didn't do this for Maryland or Clemson or LSU. They just said practices were shutting down. But, of course, with Rutgers, I feel as if whenever it's positive, right, it's Rutgers associated with New York. Whenever it's negative, it's like the Philly stuff, you know, booing Santa and all that. So it's, oh, well, Rutgers. Yeah. And maybe it's like the Jersey Shore thing. You know,
I think that's what it is.
This is where Snooki is. So all of a sudden.
I think it's this New Jersey outcast kind of thing. And it's easy to kick a team when they're down. And Rutgers has over the past, what are we looking at? 10 years now?
Yeah.
Has given a lot of fuel to that fire. Coaches dressing up in sweatshirts and trench coats and fake sunglasses to go change grades at meeting with professors at Princeton, going to concerts. You have
Rutgers was a crime spree in the defensive backfield.
Rutgers has definitely allowed itself to get to this position.
Yeah.
I do think it's a little bit unfair to single them out and put them on ESPN here because this is going on all over the country in yep. all colleges that are back. But it's just kickers when they're down. That's going to change, though. That's going to change.
Yeah, although I cannot imagine the first team meeting after this all went down. I guess it would be through Zoom since everyone's in quarantine. I have to imagine Shiano went nuts.
Yeah, and what's going to happen when they do officially, if the season stays in the fall, what's going to happen when they get to the first official workout where it's under in person, under the control of the coaches?
Yeah,
I feel sorry for those guys, but that's why you don't drink Natty Light at some house party on Easton Avenue.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know where it was, but I'm just guessing.
Yeah, probably a good guess.
Let's move on. Let's go around the NFC East. Let's stick with the Philadelphia Eagles, and unfortunately, more COVID related here. Lane Johnson has tested positive for COVID-19.
Yeah,
the league did not make it. Then the team did not make it official, but Lane Johnson went out on his Twitter and said, yeah, I did. I tested positive for it. I'm feeling good. He's taking a lot of heat in the media because he Lane Johnson went to this offensive lineman summit in Texas. He's been out and about traveling a lot. He's an Oklahoma guy. That's a hot spot right now. So there's been a lot of, did he do everything in his power to make sure that he would be healthy for the season? And apparently not. What's your take on that? Is this just circumstance? Should he have done more?
Well, I mean, in a weird way, he was doing everything in his power because he went to this offensive line summit. At the summit, they just should have been more mindful I don't know exactly how, but try to implement measures of social distancing when possible. That's how I would have.
Yeah. There's rumors that they checked it after it as well. So that the guys that were there were very aware of, they should be testing for this afterwards. And he apparently tested negative. Now that could be a whole problem on the testing side of things. I don't know, but yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. Look, and most importantly, irrespective of whatever team any of these players are on, I'm just happy to hear that it seems like he's either asymptomatic or his symptoms were very minor. So I'm glad in that perspective. I don't know, except for unless you have a clear example of recklessness by a player, I don't see how you could fault them for contracting the virus.
I agree with you. Jordan Mailata, Nate Gary also are on this COVID-19/reserve list. There has been no direct knowledge that they have this, but it could be that they were in contact with Lane Johnson and therefore they have to go on the list. They have to quarantine. And I believe Gary was working out with Lane Johnson a few weeks ago. And obviously Jordan Mailata is a lineman.
Yeah.
So this poses a bigger question, which we've kind of discussed. What happens now? This is week two of this season, not the beginning of August.
Yeah.
What happens when this is in week two and you have to now quarantine all freaking lineup? Is it going to be a Miami Marlins scenario where the NFL just says, we're not going to play this week. We're going to have to move things around.
I think that if you're able to fill the roster spots and able to field the team, then you're going to play, even if it's with a bunch of backups on the offensive line. But if you literally took down an entire offensive line room and you just – there's, between the practice squad and between free agents available, if you didn't have enough players, I guess at that point you'd have to postpone or just cancel the game.
It's going to be interesting to say the least. The NFL also, we didn't discuss this on the top of it, but there are fines that are going to be imposed for players who, we're not calling it a bubble, but players are not allowed to go to indoor nightclubs other than to get food. They're not allowed to be in establishments. They will be fined significant amount of money. If they miss games, they will lose that game check, and it's not guaranteed. They can lose guaranteed dollars.
Yeah.
Do you think that's enough?
No, because you're rattling them off, and I'm immediately thinking, you know, again, I'm, you know, not trying to take away freedoms from people, but if you're in this situation where you need to, you literally need to stay healthy for the health of the league, why do you yourself have to go into the restaurant? You know, there's DoorDash, Uber Eats, Grubhub. Just have someone deliver it to your house.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I think it's just going to be hard to keep people. It's like Lou Williams. Lou Williams leaves the Orlando NBA bubble for a funeral, I believe it was. And he went to a strip club in Atlanta, not for the ladies, for the wings, which, by the way, he posts pictures of the wings, and the wings are all over the internet. They are a good-looking chicken wing. But
I wonder what the women look like, though.
I don't care. I'll go for the wing. What's going to prevent this from happening? Guys are going to be sneaky about it. I mean, yeah. We live in a social media world where you can take pictures, which is actually how Lou Williams was outed. But is this going to be enough to stop it? I don't think so.
No, I mean, I think that a lot of the veterans have already come out and said, look, you know, I don't want anyone messing with my money. And the way that people are going to mess with money is by doing these things. So, you know, it's literally, we're going to see if peer pressure works in a positive way.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. The NFL does do a great job of their rookie symposium, which I usually hear about it, and it's all over ESPN and NFL Network. I very much imagine it was a Zoom thing this year.
Yeah. But
it would be interesting to see what camps starting, if they actually maybe do some stuff a little bit more in person. I know that they, in theory, can't.
Yeah. But
bring in certain people to have that conversation.
Yeah.
We already touched on Marquise Goodwin. I have no problem with the guy opting out. I really don't. It's a health and safety thing. I can't imagine what him and his wife went through with the miscarriages, now finally having a baby. It's okay. This is really okay. And it's disgusting to see people attacking the guy. And he's granted, he's not the easiest to like. He makes comments when he probably shouldn't. But so you opt out. You're on the team again next year. It is what it is.
Yeah, I have no problem with him choosing to do that. And I know I'm sort of skipping out of order. It's the same thing with Nate Solder. Anyone who's complaining about either of these guys, or frankly, most of them, you know, all right, we'll save the Patriots for now, but particularly with Nate Solder and Marquise Goodwin, if you're complaining about this, honestly, get a life. Like, there's things in this world that are bigger than football. You know, I don't think there's many things more important than the goal line stand show, but there are a few, and these are them. So, you know, just back off this. And look, like you alluded to, I have my own little issues with Marquise Goodwin based upon his sort of strange defense of DeSean Jackson with the comments he made a few weeks ago. But look, in the end of the day, we're all people. We're all in this together. I hope he and his family are safe. I hope the baby is okay. That's what's most important.
I agreed wholeheartedly. I just don't think that it's worth taking shots at the guy. To me, bigger news from the Eagles wide receiver room. Although I guess I shouldn't really be surprised. Alshon Jeffrey has been put on the PUP list. Super Bowl, not hero. He had a big touchdown in the Super Bowl, played real well, but has really been a malcontent seemingly in the Eagles locker room. I don't know that this is necessarily a bad thing. It's a bad thing from you don't have that player,
but
it seems like there's been bad news around him for a while, even going back to Chicago. And by the way, nice guy. My oldest son met him and at an event, said my dad's a big Eagles fan, and he was really nice, really cordial, which I appreciate. Yeah. But he doesn't seem to be the greatest teammate.
No, he's definitely not. I'm actually surprised that they have, you know, in the last 2 years, they haven't traded him. The guy, and he consistently has a history of injuries.
I just don't think that, I think that's why they haven't traded him.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's not for lack of effort, but
yeah.
who, if you're another team, who would take the risk?
Houston.
If you're anyone other than Bill O'Brien, who would take the risk?
Well, you might as well put in the call. You know?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Hey, hey, Howie, yeah. Do you think we can fleece Bill O'Brien today? What do you think he's got going on down there? I heard that there's a hurricane bearing down. Maybe his mind is all rattled. We can take care. We can trade a few guys. And I hope everyone at Houston's doing okay.
Yeah, but it's look, you might as well. It's worth a shot. On any given day with Bill O'Brien, you might be able to get something good.
Yeah. You're exactly right. Let's move on. Let's move on to the New York Giants. And this is going to become the weekly segment. This week in Gettleman's ineptitude, what do we got?
Well, so Aldrick Rosas, who was arrested on a hit and run, who Gettleman re-signed, he has been cut. And I tell you, Gettleman really can't catch a break. So they, to replace him, they signed Chandler Catanzaro, who most recently had kicked for the Jets, but then I think he retired. Everyone was pissed because they wanted, most Giant fans wanted Gettleman to sign Steven Goskowski, the former kicker from the Patriots. I wonder if Gettleman's saying, well, look, this guy has kicked in MetLife, so he's familiar with the wind pattern. But it's sort of a well-known thing that the wind pattern at MetLife is not nearly as confusing or difficult as it was at Giant Stadium. So I think that reasoning – yeah, well, you don't have Bill Parcells opening the door. But they outlawed that even in the midst of Parcells. By 1990, he couldn't do that anymore.
Oh, well, I'm sure he found a way.
Well, it's because what's his name ratted him out? Gibbs, Joe Gibbs. But nevertheless, the reasoning, oh, well, he's kicked in MetLife before, it doesn't carry the same weight as it did back in the day of, oh, well, he's kicked a Giant Stadium before. And supposedly Catanzaro's had some issues. So that's one. Second is good old DeAndre Baker has been placed on the commissioner's exempt list. He's actually appealing that. In the meantime, they
were going to pay them off to get off the list.
Well, I mean, that's his MO. So.
Yeah. I didn't work very well the first time. I don't.
No, I agree. And so they were awarded a player off waivers, sort of a marginal backup from the Colts. And everyone now with the Nate Solder opting out is like, oh, well, we should sign Logan Ryan and Jadeveon Clowney with all the money that we're freeing up. But people don't realize that money is just carried forward to next year. You're not going to have that money.
It's
going to be a lower salary cap.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, we're going to get into that once everything is kind of really ironed out. But the cap is apparently going to be – there's a lot of teams that are going to be in trouble cap-wise.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what the NFL kind of does if they make some adjustments there. But the cap, the Eagles fans are same way. Oh, I can sign this guy, sign that guy. You just can't do it. I am very much surprised that Logan Ryan is not on a team, though. A team anywhere.
Yeah, I have to believe that at some point during training camp he'll get signed. I mean, congratulations to him. He was the number 60 player in the top. I don't pay attention to that thing. I think it's ridiculous. So I don't want to spend any time talking about it, but I will say congrats to him on making the list. Logan Ryan will make the team. The Giants don't have the money, and it's not wise to start, you know, buying free agents. Because guess what? The Giants are not in a position to win this year.
You know who before we move on, I was going to say, you know who else isn't in a position to win, but we'll get there in a second.
Yeah.
The Giants have opted to do a 90-player split squad for training camp. How's this going to work? Is it going to be offense, defense?
That's the thing. No one knows.
So Gettleman. Okay, got you. Okay.
Well, no. This is a Joe Judge call. So I'm not going to question it as much yet. So basically, teams had two options. You could either get down to 80 players right now. Typically, in a normal world, right now, NFL rosters would be at 90. You right now have two options. One is you can immediately get down to 80 players, or you can maintain a 90-player roster, and you'd have to get down to 80 by August 16th. But if you do that, you basically have to maintain a split squad, two different sets of practices, two different locker rooms, different kinds of meetings and all those things. And for Joe Judge has opted to have the Giants be a 90. I guess, look, if you're rebuilding, you want all the players you can to learn the system. And I guess in the event that people are going to get sick at some point during the season, you know about these 10 other guys who know your system. So in that sense, it does make some sense.
So those 10 other guys are not necessarily going to be part of the practice squad. They can, but they're not guaranteed.
No, they're not. They could just be guys on the street.
Interesting. So yeah. Taxi, old school taxi squad guys.
Yeah.
You're going to find some guys. You're going to try and hide them.
Yeah.
Moving on the team, they have no chance this year. The Washington Football Club,
yeah,
as they are now officially known. All right, so we're going to do this every week until they have a name. So yeah. This week in the Washington name game, a rumor had come out that they were very much gearing towards, and this made me so excited.
You were going insane in a good way.
DC Sentinels. and a Sentinel is a guard, so yeah. Okay, fine, fair enough. The Sentinel is also from the movie The Replacements, and you were going nuts on texting me. You can't name a team after a fictitious team in a movie. You just can't do it.
I didn't like it.
I say, why not?
They had the Mighty Ducks, and they hated it. They switched it to the Ducks. I just don't
realize that wasn't all intertwined. I actually thought that it was all intertwined. I didn't, the Mighty Ducks thing. My knowledge of that was wrong, that the Mighty Ducks movie came first. Then Disney bought the hockey franchise and just moved it over. But that's neither here nor there.
Wait, you thought Anaheim named their team the Mighty Ducks, then there was a movie?
I thought it all coincided. I know in D2 Mighty Ducks, when they unveiled the new jersey, that was part of an unveiling of a jersey for the team. I did know that. I thought it all coincided. I thought Disney was awarded that franchise and said, well, we have this movie coming out. Let's just take advantage of it. I didn't pay attention at the time.
That's because new Ducks and old Ducks needed to unite, according to Jan.
Yeah, that's true. And Ducks Fly Together?
Yes, Ducks Fly Together.
Okay, anyway. So Washington, DC Sentinels, maybe not. I don't think that's going to be the name. I think they're trying to get one of the names they want from this trademark squatter.
Yeah. And
they're just, this guy's asking for a specific price. They did change the uniform though. What's your thoughts on that? You were very excited.
I think that helmet is pretty. It's not, because they really went more gold. So the Redskins are, the color is technically gold, but if you look, for instance, like their pants, their alternate pants look more yellow than gold. Their quote unquote gold pants to the gold pants of Notre Dame, it's clear to me Notre Dame's are more true to the color gold.
They're definitely yellow. I mean, the Steelers pants and the Reds, the Washington's alternate pants.
Looks one and the same. Yeah.
Now they had the awesome alternate with the spear.
Yes.
It had a true gold pin, but that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But it looks as if the number on the helmet is a darker shade closer to gold, and it looks really pretty.
It does look like it is a darker shade. I actually would have liked to have seen him flip the helmet to a yellowish, like, you know, they had that yellow with the R kind of thing.
Yeah.
Put a W on there, similar to what they had, but I guess you can't get that stuff done that fast.
Nah.
But we have no updates on it, on new names, other than some guy tied with Washington has bought the domain for DC Sentinels.
Yeah. You know, look, I'm still hoping that they'll just come to their senses and go Red Tails. I really like that one.
In good news coming out of Washington, and this is really good news, Alex Smith has been cleared to play and resume football activities. It's crazy.
Yeah. So I guess the one caveat is his doctors have cleared him. The Redskins have, at least right now, strategically put him on the PUP list. And I think that's just to bring him along slower. Which makes sense. I mean, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, this is for anyone who watched the documentary on Alex Smith. Now, I will say, personally, I'm a guy who can deal with a lot of the grotesque things. I'll admit, I'm a pimple popper. You know, there's Dr. Pimple Popper and things of that nature. And so, you know, you sort of grow a little desensitized to some of those images. The images of Alex Smith's foot after the infection, Mike, did you see them?
They were disgusting.
That was the most grotesque thing I've ever seen.
I've seen some things that I never want to see again in my life in one of my quote unquote side jobs, things that I did. And you come up on a car accident, there's things you don't want to see, but that is disgusting beyond belief. I don't ever want to see it again.
It looks straight out of a horror movie. And I mean, that infection ripped through his entire leg. They had to take, I believe they had to take most of his calf muscle to turn it into a shin muscle.
Yep.
He was, you know, I would say what, 20 minutes, a quarter of an inch, however you want to measure it, away from losing his leg. Yeah. He almost died.
He almost died. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty remarkable that we're at the point we're at now, considering what occurred and where he was. It's pretty cool. I hope that he gets to go on. I hope that he gets to play again.
I want him just to have one snap.
Yeah. It can be a completely a blowout thing in a regular season game. I want to see him go out there and take a snap. He deserves that.
I'm definitely rooting for him.
Let's move on to the Dallas Cowboys. Dontari Poe and Tyrone Crawford placed on the PUP list.
Yeah. I mean, look, there wasn't too much other news. They had a first year player and an undrafted free agent opt out. So, I mean, it wasn't really earth shattering in terms of the effect on the roster. This is a little bit of a big development because particularly, I mean, they're really hoping that that defensive line is a lot more stout against the run. And that's why they brought in Dontari Poe. Crawford is a solid veteran. And, you know, if you're a Cowboy fan, you want those guys healthy. It's not a great sign that they show up, they're on the PUP list. So, and this is not, there's a separate list or roster exemption for anyone either who has COVID or has potentially been exposed. So this is legit injury.
This is nothing to do with COVID. This is just an injury thing.
Yeah. So it's something to monitor.
Right. Agreed. Yeah. Let's go around the National Football League now. Big news out of New York with the Jets. Jamal Adams was traded to the Seahawks. So obviously the Seahawks get Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
2022 fourth round pick. The Jets get Bradley McDougal. 2021 first and third, 2022 first round pick. Seattle give up way too much here? It seems
I think Seattle gave up a lot, but I mean, this is not a fleecing of any in any sense. I view it almost like a win-win. The Seattle gets an amazing safety. He's not Earl Thomas. He's a different player than Earl Thomas or Cam Chancellor because he's more of a strong safety. But this is someone who really makes that Seattle secondary stronger. If that Seattle secondary was better last year, they would at least be in the NFC Championship game. They would have beat Green Bay. And think about it, they beat San Francisco once down in San Francisco, and they were a half a yard short in their own stadium. So before you know it, they could be in the Super Bowl. This is one of the best teams in the league. And for the Jets, this was a great job by Joe Douglas. You got
a good move.
Yeah. You got a player who hated it there. He hated Douglas. He hated Adam Gase. I think there's a lot more players on the team that don't like Adam Gase, but that's, you know, I'm sure we'll discuss that some other time. And you got two first round picks. Now they're probably going to be late first round picks, but you're either going to, you know, use them all on first round talent. You could trade a few of them up to get a top receiver, or you could trade them to get someone who's currently franchised. So you're acquiring assets, which you desperately need, because that team really does not have much talent. And you've actually now traded away the most talented player on the team.
Jets fans were going ballistic, some of them that I saw, over this trade. You had to. It was toxic. But yeah, you got to have faith in Joe Douglas on what he is trying to accomplish up there. He is a very, very good general manager. I hate the fact, as an Eagles guy, that he's up in Florham Park. Because if there is anybody that could change a team around, he comes from that model, that Ravens model. He could do it.
Yeah, I don't understand, you know, in terms of Jet fans being upset. If you're building a team, you're not building it around the safety.
They're the redheaded stepchild of everybody else. I mean, what are you
going to do? But really, though, I mean, think it, you never build Loving around the safety. Head. That's okay. You don't build around a safety, but Seattle, when you're close enough that you're a perennial playoff team, that's when you add a top safety in the league.
They were a Legion of Boom away from being their defense took a step back from when it was the Legion of Boom. They need to kind of replace that, and I agree with you there.
Yeah,
I can't stand Pete Carroll though. let's stick to the West Coast. The LA Chargers. Joey Bosa signs a 5-year, $135 million contract with $102 guaranteed. So is Joey Bosa worth more than Myles Garrett?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Only thing that I can say is he is playing for the Chargers, so out of sight, out of mind a little bit. It's weird to say that. I guess one of the other guys in Cleveland, so.
Look, would I like to have Joey Bosa on the Giants? Absolutely. I think if you compare him one-on-one to Myles Garrett, I think Myles Garrett is a better player. Myles Garrett obviously was not available at the end of the season because of the suspension. But aside from that, Myles Garrett has not had the same kind of injury issues in his pro career that Joey has had.
Yeah, I agree with you. Which Bosa would you rather have, Nick Bosa or Joey Bosa?
I'd go Nick. I think Nick – Joey – might have, if you look at, for instance, like their combine numbers, I think Joey probably performed slightly better. I just think Nick is stronger, better against the run, and just has a better skill set in terms of pass rush arsenal. Excuse me.
I got you. Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly. Again, no, I would not. Matt, Joey Bosa wanted to become a Philadelphia Eagle. That is fine by me. I'm not gonna complain.
Yeah, I think he's better than any defensive end on the Giants or Eagles.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Interesting name, speaking of defensive ends, still out there is Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
Do you think he signs anywhere in the next week to 2 weeks, camp starting to open, or is this going to be a season kind of thing?
I don't think it's going to be a season thing. I think – teams are going to have training camp, assess what's going on. There may be an injury or two, or, you know, perhaps a COVID related illness or two, and a team's going to get desperate and bring him in. It's clear that, look, teams, the issue with Clowney is I think he is exceptionally talented. There are certain players who their impact does not necessarily show up in stats. Right. I mean, so I thought one of the best games of the year last year was both Seattle San Francisco games. In the first game, he took over the game, and I don't even think he had a sack. But his pass rushing, the way he was able to collapse the pocket, he completely disrupted the San Francisco offense. The thing is, so again, he doesn't have the sexiest stats, and he has an injury history. So I think he and his agent overvalued his worth, and because of that, he priced himself out from a lot of teams.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be the fun thing coming up with everything that's going on. Speaking of coming up, 32 teams in 32 days, we are going to be debuting that on our YouTube channel. The link is also, again, in the show notes, and it'll also be on our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This isn't In the Fight, but you should go there too, at In the Fight Show. where we saw Combat Sports. Great interview with Lenny Ruffotti. Defunct MMA Promotions. That's out now. This is the Goal Line Stand. So at GL Stand Show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We're going to have a couple guests coming up. Chris Quay, Doug Eastlick, Brendan Borowski, Kalichi Okeri. We're working on some fantasy football stuff with the guys from True North Fantasy. Check out Sports Talk Philly, sportstalkphilly.com, thegoalinestand.com, Michael's Glass Company. I'm Mike. That's Brett. We will see you next week. Stay safe. Wear a mask so we can have some football this year.